Amen. So last few weeks, we've been talking about kingdom values. We talked about hope. We talked about overflowing with hope. We talked about how we have freedom, and our freedom and our hope is in Jesus. And no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, the good news is He is with us. And He is bringing us overflowing hope. It's not the circumstances we face. It's not how we're feeling. All of those things are important. But God is bigger than them, better than those things. And so this morning, what I want us to do is, I want us to look at being restored. You see, church, this morning, we are people that have been restored if we're in Christ. I want to encourage you, a kingdom value. And we're going to explore it this morning. We're going to look at some scripture, maybe a tiny bit more than normal. But we'll not take loads of time. I just want to read this over your heart. But the challenge this morning as we read some of this scripture is to jot it down or note it down or watch back on the YouTube or watch listen back on the podcast and go through some of these verses and let them just wash over your heart. Let them just wash over your soul. Anybody just enjoy reading and letting that word just work over your heart? I want to encourage you this morning, if you don't do that or never thought that that was a powerful thing to do, can I encourage you that it's a living word that we read? It's not like any other book, the Bible. It is a living word. God says that. It's a living word. It's been the most tried and tested book in history. It's had the most sales in history. It's the most active book in history. It's an incredible book because it's alive. It is not dead. It's not passive. And I encourage you this morning, take these verses, meditate on them, and allow them to wash over your heart, and let them change your mind. Let them radically change your mind. Let them radically change your thinking. So this morning we're going to talk about being restored. But I'm going to give you a couple of R's just before that. And the first one is redeemed. The Bible talks about this word in terms of being redeemed. And what it means is whenever I have something or if something has been lost and if I want to redeem it, what I need to do is I need to buy it back. And as I buy it back, I bring it to its original purpose and I say, hey, I want to redeem that item because, I don't know, maybe it's a, let's make it up, maybe it's a washing machine that's being used as an ornament stand. That's not a good idea for a washing machine. It's meant to wash clothes, not hold ornaments. So if I want that, I'll redeem that washing machine back. I'll plug it back in. I'll put some washing powder in. Not that I know anything about this, but I'll put some clothes in and then I'll wash it, wash lots of clothes. And then out it'll pop and clean clothes. That's what we get because I've redeemed it back to its original purpose. That is what Jesus has done for us. When sin came, it separated us. And so Jesus came and He redeemed us. And how did He redeem us? With His precious blood. He paid the highest price for us because He said we were worth it and He redeemed us. That was step number one. So now we have been redeemed back. But of course, you know in your own life that even though Jesus died for you on the cross, there's something that you must do. You must ask for forgiveness. You must recognize that you're a sinner. You must recognize your need of God. And as you do that, you'll go, okay, I say yes to Jesus. We can add in another R, which is repent. We say, Jesus, I need you. I repent of my sins. And He comes in. And what He does in that moment, after He has redeemed us on the cross, what He does in that moment is He renews us. He renews our life. He renews our spirit. Suddenly, we become transformed. In fact, 2 Corinthians tells us that we become new creations. Now, I'm sure you've figured this out already, but even when you ask Jesus into your life, and even after He has redeemed you and renewed you, you sometimes look in the mirror and go, I think I look the same. You know, you sometimes walk down the street and you think, well, I still think I feel the same person. But can I encourage you that God is doing a redemptive work in you, that God has renewed you? But here's the third thing, what He's actually doing. He is restoring you. He is restoring all things in your life. And the number one thing that He has restored is your relationship with the Father. The number one thing that He has done, He has restored that broken relationship so that there is no distance and there is no separation any longer. And this morning, can I encourage you that even though there are things in your life that have yet to be restored, that have yet to be brought back into full place, that because your restoration with the Father is sorted, because your relationship with Him has been brought back close, there is no separation any longer, that's a big deal. That's a really big deal. And it affects every area of your life. And even though there are things that have yet to be changed, that's a great foundation. And that's what God wants to encourage us with this morning. There are things, of course, we want to see changed. There are things that we still want to see restoration in our lives. But we've got to know this morning that God has taken care of the biggest one, which is the restoration of our relationship with Him. There is no distance any longer. There is no gap any longer. He is right there. And the only thing that can get in the way sometimes is ourselves. We go, oh, I'm just too busy. Oh, I've got to do this. Oh, I've got to do that. But God says this morning, don't allow yourself to get separated from me in the sense of you forget to pray or you forget to read or you don't worship too much or you're not in His presence that much. Watch when we do that, how distance starts to happen in our relationship with Him. And before we know it, we start to say, wow, I don't even know if where's God? Like, you know, why am I going through this, Lord? Like, we start to question so much. We start to get a place of doubt. We start to get a place of worry. We start to get a place of anxiety. We start to get the deep concern places. And God says this morning, I have restored your broken relationship with me, so stay close and watch how I'm going to continue to transform you in your life. I just love the idea of restoration, and so does God. I think that's why we love it, because he's put it inside of us. Anybody like watching those restoration programs? You know, it just feels like TV's full of them. You know, like you get these homes, you buy these old rotten down homes, you transform them, and suddenly they're like, wow, people want to live here again instead of like running away from this place. Or maybe you go and you find a piece of furniture, or you find something that has lost its value, or it seems like it's lost its value, but yet we know that if it gets fully restored, value comes back to normal. Value maybe even goes up. Maybe some of those antique programs, or you see some of those things where people buy old broken things and they restore them back to former glory. I love this. And this is what God has done in our lives as we've asked him into our hearts, as we've asked him for forgiveness, as we've repented of our sins. Guess what he's done? He's brought us back to a former glory. He's taken out the old stuff that was no good, and he's put in the new stuff, and he is transforming us. In fact, he says, I'm taking you from glory to glory. I'm transforming you every day. The process of restoration is amazing. I remember a few years ago, let me tell you a fun story. Hopefully you'll find it fun. I find it fun, so just laugh anyway. But it's a good story, and it's about these guys on Discovery Channel. They're called Gas Monkeys. I don't know if you've ever seen that program before. But years ago, what they did is, they still do it today, they take like these cars and they restore them. And it works a bit better in the States than here, because you don't have to worry so much about MOT and things like that. They can just get the things going. But out there, the guys have been doing like small jobs, like small cars, $10,000 or whatever, $15,000. And then one of the guys said, but you know what I really want? I'd love to find a hit Ferrari. I'd love to find like a busted up Ferrari that got hit in the head on collision. We buy it for cheap. We fix it up and it's like worth a fortune. And they thought, this is how we're going to make our mint. This is how we're going to do this thing. So eventually they find this Ferrari. It was like an F40. If you know what that is, you know it's a gorgeous car. They find this F40. It was hit on the front. It was totally wrecked. And they said to the guys, how much do you want for it? Guy turns around and says, well, it's probably worth like $1 million if it was all ready to go. So I'll take $200,000 or $300,000 for it. I'm like, what? See, here's the thing, guys. Even when we're not at the place we need to be, we've still got intrinsic value. We've still got incredible value. And even an old crumpled up car still had a lot of value. Can I encourage you this morning that even if you're a place where you feel that you're not restored, or if you feel that you're in a place in your life that even though you're saved, that there's still areas in your life that need to be restored, that value is still locked inside of you, that God has seen that value, he knows that value, and he has plans at work for that. And so they take this car, he goes together with his friend, and decide to restore it together because he knows it's going to be costly. He knows it's going to be costly, but he decides that the restoration is worth it. Can I give you a second quick point this morning, that God knew that your restoration was going to be costly, but he decided you're worth it? I just love that this morning. He picked the most expensive thing on earth to restore. Think about that just for a moment. He could have picked anything else. It would have been so much cheaper, so much easier to restore, but he chose us. Because he says, you are the apple of my eye. You are made in my image. And I'm not going to allow stinky sin to destroy you forever. In fact, I'm going to send my son because you are worth the restoration. You're worth it this morning. Can I encourage you this morning, when the enemy comes to tell you that you're not worth an awful lot, that God said that you were worth the most? In fact, the reason why he sent Jesus was because nothing else would do. He could have picked anything else to restore. But he didn't. He chose you. Because I want them. I want you back. I love my people, and I will not forget about them. His restoration process is incredible. And in the same way as we love to restore, he loves to restore. Here's the final point from the story I want to share from this fun story, was that they fix up the Ferrari. They get it looking amazing. But you know what they say? They say to themselves, you know what? We're not going to go back to the old boring red. We're going to make this thing black. I mean, it looked incredible. It just looked stunning. They say, we're not going to bring it back to its original. We're going to make it even better. Can I encourage you this morning that God's not just bringing us back to the original, he's making us even better, if that's even possible. He's making us even better because, as Jesus said, you're going to do greater things than me. So they restore this Ferrari back, they're ready to sell it. And here's what tends to happen when you love something an awful lot. You put an awful lot of time into it, you put a lot of value into it, put a sweat and tears in it, a lot of love into it. The guy turns around and says, I don't want to sell it, I want to keep it for myself. I want to keep it for myself. Now think about this. It's already cost him a fortune buying it. It's already cost him a fortune repairing it. And it makes sense to sell it to get some value back, to even make, kind of bring me the ends meet kind of thing, to break even. But he says, no, I'm not giving it to anybody else. I've worked too hard. I'm keeping it for myself. Can I encourage you? Last mini point this morning is that God loved you so much. Not only did he pay for your restoration, not only did he pay for your redemption, not only did he want to see you go from glory to glory, but he's not giving you up for anybody else. He's not letting you go for anybody else because he loves you so much. And just like that silly Ferrari that anybody, if they had enough money, could buy, the guys decided, no, we want to keep it. We just love it too much. God says the same about us. I know there are things in our lives that are not restored yet. I know there's still hurts and pains in our lives. But the number one thing has been taken care of, which is the restoration of our souls. If we accept Jesus into our life, he will restore us. He will refresh us. Psalm 23 tells us that he restores my soul. He refreshes me. And so this morning, I want to encourage you, you have hope, even in the midst of the situations that you're going through, even in the midst of the trials that you're facing, that you have hope because you know that God is a restoring God. He is a loving God. He is an incredible God. Let's read Job 42. We're going to read this verse together. Job 42, chapter 42, 10 to 11, says, "As the Lord restores Job's losses." So Job, if you remember back, Old Testament, he's a guy, there's this kind of conversation that happens between God and the enemy, God and the devil. And God says to the devil, oh, my Job, my people in the earth, Job's an amazing guy. And the enemy comes back to God. He says, well, is he really? And God says, yeah, of course he's an amazing guy. He says, well, okay, let me test him. He says, okay, you can test him, but I know that Job will never leave me. I know that Job loves me. I know that he will keep going. I know that he will never give up on me. And Job loses everything. Can I encourage you? He loses everything. If you haven't read the story, he loses everything. He loses his wife. He loses his kids. He loses his livestock. He loses his whole, basically everything apart from his own life. But he would argue that he was probably lifeless because he had lost so many things. He was hopeless. And yet, chapter 42, it turns around this. It says, right at the end of the book, near the end of it, it says, the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. See, our God not only is there for us in times of need, but he also restores, and he restores better than before. He got twice as much as before. Now, his timing may be completely different. Now, the trials that you've been through, now the timing that you want may be completely different to God's timing, but we've got to trust and know that our God loves to restore so much better than we love to restore, and if we trust him, he's on the move. If we trust him, he's doing this. And so good news this morning, God restoration is bigger than our losses. Can I encourage you with that this morning? That Job had been through horrendous losses, but that God's restoration was bigger than all of his losses. I'll say the same for you this morning. You might have lost horrendous things. You may have lost in horrendous areas. You may have lost in multiple different ways, but God's victory, God's restoration, God's hope is greater than all of that. Greater than all of that. He turns around and says, I'll bless you twice as much. Twice as much. Job had all new kids. More kids came. And of course, he's going to meet all the rest of them in heaven. He got twice as many. God restored in amazing, incredible ways. Was the loss painful? Of course. Was the loss difficult? Of course. Did it test Joel right to the nth degree? Of course. But did God ever leave him? Did God ever abandon him? No. God was right there. And even though the enemy will come and take from us, and even though the enemy will come and steal from us, can I encourage you this morning with the kingdom value, is that God's restoration is greater than the losses. That God's restoration is greater than what the enemy can take. In fact, we don't have time to read all the verses, but Prophet Joel said this, that he's going to restore all that the locust has taken, all that the locust has eaten, all that the enemy has taken, God will restore it. Not just a little bit, but 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. He's a God of multiplication. He's a God of overflow. I want to read Matthew chapter 19, verse 28-29 to us. Jesus said to them, and allow this just to wash your soul this morning. Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, see, God has a plan in place. He's going to renew all things. We may not have seen it yet, but he is going to renew all things. It's going to happen. It's going to occur. When the Son of Man sits on the glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And note verse 29. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers or sisters, or fathers or mothers or wives, or children or fields for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. It's incredible. See, he is going to restore all things. He will make all things new. He has already begun that process on the earth. He has already begun that process in your life, but you will see it come to completion. We have to simply trust. We have to have faith. And not only will he bring it to completion, but you see it, you will receive 100 times as much. In other words, you'll just receive more, 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 more. Multiplication, 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 multiplication. But what's really clear about the verses, and you can read it for yourself, verse 29, and everyone who has left houses or brothers, there's that implication. There's that, obviously, there's that idea, there's that realization that you'll have to leave some things. There is that realization there is a cost. And God never challenges us with faith without reminding us of the cost. He says, if you want to follow me, you got to take up your cross every day. He says, remind yourself of the cost every day. Because if you don't, the enemy will come and say, well, hey, he didn't tell you about this. Oh, there's a hidden secret. Oh, there's a hidden cost. Oh, is God really good? And then we'll question God and we'll say, oh, maybe not. So God says, start every day by counting the cost. Start every day by realizing there will be a cost. It'll probably be greater than you can control. It'll probably be greater than you can fathom. It'll definitely be greater than you like. But God is greater, and his restoration is greater, and his hand is greater, and his multiplication is greater. And so no matter what we will lose, God will multiply. He will increase. Can I encourage you with that this morning? And no matter what you've lost, no matter what you're still hoping for, no matter what you're still dreaming for, because, hey, all of us have lost things. All of us have lost things. Our life was once lost. But as we give it to Christ, he found us. He brought us back. He chose us. He restored us. And he hasn't finished there. He has so much more to do in your life. Don't allow the enemy to lie to you. Don't allow him to steal from you. God is doing great things. And we're going to read some more verses over your hearts this morning. Again, I'm not wanting us to understand all of these. I want us to wash over our souls. I felt like the Holy Spirit just wanted to wash us with some of his word this morning. But please go on and I encourage you, write the references down and go and allow these to meditate on these and allow them to flow over your heart and life over this week. Colossians 1, 21, 22. Even though you were once distant from him, this is what it says. Living in the shadows of the evil thoughts and actions. He reconnected you back to himself. He's always been trying to reconnect you. He's been always trying to restore you. He's been always trying to get you back. He released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as a sin payment on your behalf so that you would dwell in his presence. And now there is nothing between you and the Father God. For he sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. He sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. Now, I know that you're not stupid, and you're probably thinking to yourself, I don't feel too holy, and I don't feel too flawless, and I don't feel too restored. In fact, a lot of people around me tell me the same thing. But here's what I want to encourage you with this morning. God sees right past all of your sin, past, present, and future. In fact, he saw it all on the cross when he died, because the weight of it was excruciating. The weight of it was horrendous. So he knows all about it. He dealt with it piece by piece, bit by bit. But here's what he does, which is so much better than us. He looks past our current situation. He sees what we are becoming. He sees who we are in him. He sees us as spotless, without wrinkle. He sees us as holy. He sees us as separated. He sees us as going on the right path. He sees us as flawless. He sees us as restored. And that is why he's called us to greater things than himself. He says, you're going to do greater than me. Because I see what's inside of you. I see how you've been covered. I see that you've been washed in the blood. I see that your life has been transformed. And how do we know this? And how do we see this? And how do we go for this? We receive it by faith this morning. I encourage you, receive it by faith. You are flawless. You are spotless. God has taken you from glory to glory. Does that give you a license to sin? Absolutely not. Otherwise, I'm questioning what you're even following. No. It calls us to greater things, calls us to higher things. It says, Holy Spirit, lead me even more. Holy Spirit, do even more through me. God sees past who we are. He sees who we really are. And he says, you're holy, flawless, and restored. And maybe that's what needs to wash over our hearts this morning. Maybe you've got a different translation this morning. It might not say restored at the end, but you know what it'll say instead? It'll say free from accusation. Free from accusation. When the enemy tries to try you and say, but what about this? What about that? Talking about restored, whatever. What about this? What about that? You know what God has said through his Holy Spirit is that you are free from accusation. And so when the enemy comes to condemn you, when your friend maybe comes to condemn you, you're thinking, are you a friend? Or whenever you condemn yourself, you say, no. I know what you're saying is true, but I know a greater truth. He has redeemed me. He is restoring me. I have been washed in the blood. My sins have been already forgiven. I'm not trying to do this, but I know there are days where I'll mess up, but God is with me. So I'm not under that yoke of slavery anymore. I'm not under that burden of sin anymore. I am under grace. It is too hard for our earthly mind to ever get our heads around that. But through His Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, He will enable us, He reveals us. And so what we have to do a lot of the times is just trust it by faith. Okay, God, I know I feel like this, but I know what You say. I'm free from accusation. God, I know I don't feel very flawless right now. You know, I don't feel very spotless right now. I don't feel very good right now. But I know, God, that You're with me because I know this by faith. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves of who we really are because our mind gets distracted by what everybody else says or what we think or what we see. And it's not the case. It is not the case because you're no longer under condemnation this morning. You're no longer under the weight of sin, but we are under grace. So we encourage our hearts. And who counseled all of this and who set all this up? Jesus did. Let me read just a couple more bits of scripture, and then we'll get done in a few minutes. Verse 14 of the same chapter of Colossians says this, "For in the Son our sins are concealed, are counseled, and we have release of redemption through His very blood. He is the divine portrait and the true likeness of the invisible God, the firstborn, heir of all creation." Jesus is incredible. "For through the Son everything was created, both in the heavenly realm and the earth, and all that is seen and all that is unseen, every seat of power, realm of government, principality, and authority, it was all created through Him and for His purposes. He has existed before anything was made, and now everything finds completion in Him. He is the head of His body, which is the church. And since He is the beginning and the firstborn heir in resurrection, He is the most exalted one, holding first place in everything. For God is satisfied to Him to have all that is fullness dwelling in Christ. And by the blood of the cross, everything in heaven and on earth is brought back to Himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again." You see, only Jesus could do this. Only He could do this. Can I encourage you this morning? This is how powerful our Savior is. Can I encourage you this morning? The reason why He could cancel our sins is because He is everything. Can I encourage you this morning that the reason that you can trust Him this morning is because He is above all things? Can I encourage you this morning when you're in doubt, you can pray and believe because He is with you and because He is able to do far greater things than we can ever possibly imagine or think? Jesus is supreme this morning, and He is on our side. He is absolutely incredible. He is absolutely amazing, Jesus. And last story this morning, as we're getting winding up to finish, I want to think of the story of blind Bartimaeus. Anybody remember that story? Anybody remember the story? This is this guy that was so blind, it was in his name, blind Bartimaeus. It's like, man, can you believe that? This is who he was. Just blind. It's even of his name. It's the way people defined him. It's the way that he went. He was just like, oh, that's that blind guy. That's that guy. It's like nothing's ever going to change with him. Can I encourage you this morning? I want to think of the story just as a last thought because I want to encourage you that God can restore all things. I want to encourage you this morning, no matter what you're going through, that God can restore all things. And one of the biggest things that He's going to restore is your sight. One of the biggest things that He's going to restore is your sight. Blind Bartimaeus, he's just standing idly by. And it says this in Mark 10, verse 46. Then he reached Jericho. Jericho is a place of praise. Every time you hear Jericho, think about praise and maybe rejoice and praise. And as Jesus and His disciples left, a large crowd followed Him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout. He said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." This is where he begins to shout. Everybody doesn't like it. Beside the road. "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him. But he shouted even louder. He said, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man and said, "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. And then Jesus asked this question in verse 51 that just fries your head. He says, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do?" You would think it's obvious, but it's important to ask the right questions. Otherwise, you'll get the wrong things. It says, "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the way. Incredible story. Jesus is in Jericho. He's come to the outskirts of the city. He's ready to go. He's looking to go. It's been a long day. But the crowd keep following him because he's so irresistible, and they know if they get close to him, he's going to do incredible things. And he meets blind Bartimaeus because he decides to shout it and says, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Can I encourage you this morning of a few quick things about restoration from this story as we finish? Here's what I love about this blind man is that he recognized his need. If we're going to get restored in our life from restoration in terms of our sins, if we're going to get restored in every area of our lives, we got to understand that there's things that we're facing, there's needs that we're facing. And blind Bartimaeus understood his need, and he understood it to such an extent that he was willing to cry out about it. And I want us to think about this morning, because he decided to expose himself more than ever. He decided to cry out more than ever, and he shouted it out. And even when the crowds came to say, don't worry about it, don't worry about it, he shouted it even louder, because he says, no, you don't know what I'm facing. You don't know what I've been through. And I want to share this story as we finish this morning with just some final encouragement. Here's a guy that's been blind, most likely from birth. Here's a guy who's been blind. It's his identity. It's what people call him. It's part of his name. It's everything that people know him for. But something has worked inside of his heart where he says, you know what, I don't want to be like that anymore. I don't want to be blind any longer. I want to encourage you this morning, there may be things in your life that have become your identity that God wants to remind you that's not who he's called you to be. That's not who you are. And blind Bartimaeus decides to cry out that day, and he says, Son of David, have mercy on me. And of course, Jesus gets Jesus' attention, and he turns around. He says, what's going on? And verse 51 is the one that just blows my mind. And I believe this one could have changed. This is the most powerful question in history. I think it's one of the most powerful questions that Jesus could ever ask anyone when you understand who he is. And we've just read of his supremacy this morning and how he holds everything. He says, what would you like me to do for you? Imagine what he could ask for. I don't know if you've seen the latest Aladdin movie, and you've seen the genie comes out. I mean, you get three wishes, whatever you want, but be careful what you wish for. I mean, all that really is a foreshadow or a counterfeit of who Jesus is. He's so much better than a genie. He's so much better than that. He can forgive your sins. He can transform your eternal destination. He can bring you salvation, but he's also even better than that. He's 100 times better than that. He's exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Blind Bartimaeus gets wind that Jesus is coming to town. He's about to leave town. He says, I need to get what he has, because he started to see something in his life. And he said, I wonder, could I be changed if I called out to him? And I want to encourage you this morning, maybe it's salvation you need, or maybe it's a life change that you need, or maybe it's been something that's become part of your identity, maybe it's been something that's been spoken over you, maybe it's been something you've battled for a long time, maybe it's been a loss that you've carried for years, maybe you thought you would carry for the rest of your days, but I want to encourage you this morning, I know that God is whispering verse 51 this morning. He says, what do you want me to do for you today? What do you want me to do? And it's up to us to decide what we need and what we want. And here's what blind Bartimaeus says, I want to see. Now, you may say that's obvious, but I would suggest this morning, if you've been blind your whole life, that you might have given up on seeing a whole lot many, many years ago. You might have thought of that, prayed about that, dreamt of that for all of your life, and you might have got to a place where you've just decided that's just too much to expect. It's just too much to expect, so I'll probably believe for something else. Lord, just give me a home, because he's a beggar. Just give me some money. I'll be satisfied with that. Isn't it amazing when we've been beat down for years upon years upon years, and we've only known loss in so many different areas, that when the right question comes, we've got no answer for it? Because we say to ourselves, if I could just get a tiny bit, you know what I mean? If I just get a few crumbs, that'd be enough. God says, no. I've poured out my whole life for you. I've poured out everything I have for you. And I ask you the question this morning, what would you like me to do for you today? There is no answer that would be too big, but I encourage you to go for an answer that's big rather than small. I encourage you to go for an answer that's so much bigger than you than a small one that says, could I just get a few meals for a week or two? I don't think anybody would be shocked if blind Bartimaeus had said that, or could I just get a few friends? Because I don't know any friends. I don't know any food. I don't know. I'm begging every day. I don't know. I think if you've been battling with your sight for a whole lifetime, you mightn't even dare to ask for it, because you'd have thought it's just too much. But blind Bartimaeus thought to himself, I've got a chance here, because this is Jesus and he can do anything. It's not like anybody else. It's not like anybody else where I just ask for a few pounds or just ask for a loaf of bread. I can ask him anything, because I've heard that he can forgive sins. I've heard that he can transform people. I've heard that he can open blind eyes. I've heard that he can restore anything. I've heard this. And he risks it, and he dares it, and the crowd shout him down, and they say, shut up, get it, be quiet. But he shouts all the louder, and when Jesus finally asks him the question he'd been waiting his whole life for in verse 51, what would you like me to do for you today? He knows exactly what he wants. He said, I want to see. I want to see. And I want to encourage you this morning. Jesus is asking the same question. What will you dare to believe for? What will you dare to ask for? Can I suggest if it's just a spur of the moment, you're going to ask for too little? Can I suggest that blind Bartimaeus had probably got to a point in his life where he had decided, if Jesus ever comes near me, I've heard of the stories. I've heard of what he can do. If Jesus ever comes near me, I'm going to risk it. I'm going to ask for my sight back. I'm going to ask for the most precious thing that I'm seeking. I'm going to ask for it. Because if I could get my sight, I could get my future. If he could transform me, I would never be the same again. Can I encourage you this morning? Jesus is here. He's asking the same question. What would you like me to do for you today? Don't make the mistake of asking for too little. Don't make the mistake of just going for something so low. Ask him for something big, but let it come from deep within your heart and deep within your soul. And if it's salvation, ask for that. If you've got salvation, ask him for something risky. Ask him for something that will transform not only you, but your family and generations before you. Ask him. Ask him for something risky and ask him for something that will leave you never the same again. Because this is what he's really seeking. People that would live like him. People that would pour out their whole life. People that would give everything. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Isn't it amazing that this blind man could ask that question of Jesus? And as he does, what does Jesus say? Your faith has made you well. Your faith has done this. Jesus saw this wasn't a spontaneous request. This wasn't just something that he just shouted out spur of the moment. This was a deep cry of his heart. And he had decided, if I can tell Jesus this, he can do it. I want to encourage your faith this morning. Get a deep cry from your heart. I want to encourage you this morning. If there's not one there, ask him to give it to you. I want to encourage you this morning. Just as Chrissy said, don't worry about the crowd. Ask him, ask him, ask him whatever it is. And then expect. And then have faith. And get ready. Because he's able to do it. He is able to do it. He is a wonderful, wonderful God. Let's stand together. Let's just close your eyes just for a moment. I'm going to read Revelation 21 verse 5 over your heart. I promised you this morning lots of scripture. God just really wants to wash your heart with this. Come on, just close your eyes this morning. Allow this to wash over your heart. Revelation 21, near the very end of the Bible. God's going to bring everything back. He's going to restore all things. He's going to bring a new heaven, a new earth. We're going to live in heaven with golden streets. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be better than you ever believed. And in verse 21 of Revelation, verse 5, it says this, "And he who was seated on the throne said," speaking of Jesus, "I am making everything new. I am making everything new." Can I encourage you this morning, just pour that over your heart. Say it under your breath. Say it in your heart. Jesus is making everything new. Come on, say that to yourself this morning. Allow your mind to grasp the reality of it. Jesus is making everything new. Jesus is making everything new. Jesus is making everything new in me. Jesus is making everything new in you. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Lord, write these words on our hearts. Write these words on my heart. You're making all things new. You're going to make everything brand new, Lord. You've started with me, which was the hardest thing to do. Nobody else could do it. You started with me. And if you can do it with me, you'll do it with everything else, Lord. You did it with my salvation. Maybe he did it with your salvation. Maybe he hasn't done it with yours yet, but you want to respond to him this morning. Then I encourage you, say yes. Ask to Jesus. Ask him to forgive your sins. You don't need a prayer that's going to transform you. You just need to pour out your heart and say, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, come and help me. Jesus, take away my sins. Jesus, I want to follow you. Make things new inside of me. But Lord, I pray this morning you come with this question. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you're already stirring our hearts. You're already stirring our hearts. What's the biggest need in our lives? Maybe it's that you need to get a calling of God on your life where you'll just move heaven and earth to get it. Maybe it's that God just needs to do something in your spirit where you say to yourself, in spite of all that I'm facing, I'm going after this person. I'm going after this thing. God, birth dreams. Birth a calling in our lives this morning. Birth things that are so big, they're just better than I want a pay rise. They're just better than I want a new job. And all of those things are important. And they're just better than this. They're just better than that. It's higher. It's greater. I want to see. I want to see. I want to see. I want to see. verse 51 over our hearts this morning, from Jesus to your heart. What do you want me to do for you today? What do you want me to do for you today? I encourage you this morning, church, as we sing, as we worship, answer that question. If you don't know how to answer it, ask Jesus to help you. Ask the Holy Spirit. But answer that question this morning. And even when you answer it, say to God, help me to make it bigger. Help me to make it greater. I want to trust you. I want to respond to you in greater ways. So Lord, we just pray, pour out your Spirit this morning. Pour out your grace, pour out your love. Call us to higher things. And Jesus, let us respond to your words of faith with an answer that will change our lives and the people around us forever. In Jesus' name, amen.